chapter 3, Hebrews. Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of a heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus, who is faithful to him that appointed him, as also Moses was faithful in all his house. For this man was counted worthy of more glory than Moses, insomuch as he who has builded the house has more honor than the house. For every house is builded by some man, but he that buildeth all things is God. And Moses verily was faithful in all his house as a servant for a testimony of those things which were to be spoken at. But Christ is the Son over his own house, whose house are we, if we hold fast the confidence and rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end. Now, we have already taken notice from last week that the apostle is building a case, and on the basis of all that he has already said regarding the identification, the solidarity of the Lord Jesus Christ with his people, the head with the body, and he taking unto himself the nature and of the seed of Abraham, yet without sin, he could be and was our merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God. Remember, first of all, he's writing to those who are well acquainted with the Old Testament. He's writing to Hebrew Christians, and he's laying the groundwork and in comparison and contrast with that which God had laid down in the Old Testament regarding their faith and approach to him through types and shadows, that those types and shadows and patterns now have been realized and come to fruition through the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that he is the par excellence in his greatness as a prophet, a priest, and king. And all the kings and all the prophets and all the priests, particularly the high priests, all that they represented in the Old Testament and the great things that they communicated were only a figure of those things to come that would be seen in Christ. So he's writing them, challenging them to fix their attention to Christ and not look back. Don't turn back to Judaism. Don't turn away and begin to adopt some other things that false teachers are teaching, but follow Christ. For Christ alone is, as he spoke here, our chief prophet, our great apostle and high priest of our profession or our confession of faith. So he writes us in a very, he writes them and to us as well in a very beautiful way, describing us as those who are partaker of a heavenly calling, a holy calling. Share us together of our mutual faith, that we should follow him. And then in this very brilliant next few verses, he speaks of Moses. Now, as he writes of Moses, we're not to think in any way that he is downgrading the importance of Moses. Of all the people in the Old Testament, and there are many great saints in the Old Testament, many great prophets, many great kings, and we could all name some of our favorites, you know, whether it's Gideon or Samson or Elijah or Isaiah. We think of King David and his wife, valiant for the Lord, in the Psalms that he wrote. We can think of Solomon and his wisdom. Certainly we think of Abraham. And we know how the Jews constantly referred to themselves as children of Abraham, though they missed the thrust of the Scripture, that the Scripture was addressing the children of Abraham by faith. And that we together in the New Testament, in this passage, we won't get to it today, but Lord willing, next week we'll probably deal with it, again, the unity of Scripture, using the term household, that the face of the saints in the Old Testament is the face of the saints in the New Testament. There's one Lord, one faith, one blessed gospel. And those things spoke of Christ to come. Now in the New Testament, we speak of Christ, the reality. So Abraham was very important. And again, there are references, and I've read them, even in our discussion and our preaching from Hebrews, about passages that have dealt with Abraham. And even here, we have Abraham's name mentioned in chapter 2. And how often have you read in your own reading how the Jews constantly held up Abraham? But as glorious as Abraham was as the father of the faithful, as the father of the promise, the covenant promise, the king, in Genesis 12 and Genesis chapter 17 to Abraham, I don't think there's any other figure in the Old Testament that can stand head and shoulders to Moses. Moses was a great leader. He was a great prophet. He was the mediator of the Old Testament. It was by him and through him that God led the children of Israel out of Egypt, picturing for us the great salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ. And he was one of the greatest prophets. It's through him and by him God gave the laws, both the civil laws and certainly the ceremonial laws, but most importantly, the Ten Commandments, the body of God's truth, which teach us the nature of our sin, our need for our Savior, that we might look to another, the Lord Jesus Christ, who fulfilled the law on our behalf and took the punishment of the law in our stead, and the law that continues to be very important in the life of the believer as a sign of their way of sanctification and their walk. So don't think in this passage that the Holy Spirit, through the author of this great book and this great chapter, is in any sense belittling Moses or taking away from Moses. There's no fault here in Scripture found with the faithfulness or the walk of Moses. He did not neglect to attend to the duties and the missions that God had given him. No criticism at all is intended. He was a good example, and men in the Old Testament should have followed him. As a matter of fact, they were criticized when they didn't follow him. But the emphasis is in, though Moses was great, and we look at that particularly as we get into the body of those verses that I read to you, that Moses was great in his faithfulness. And remember what the Bible teaches us very clearly, very succinctly over in the book of Corinthians, that what is required in a steward, and that's what Moses was, a steward in the household of God. He was a servant in the household of God. And what is required above everything else, and of course this has application to all of us, because we are also stewards, we are also servants in the household, in the kingdom of God. What is required above everything else, of all that we could do, is faithfulness. Faithfulness to God, faithfulness to the Lord our Savior, faithfulness in hearing and heeding His Word. And that's the emphasis, of course, that's being made. So it's speaking here in this chapter about the faithfulness. It spoke of the mercy of Christ. Remember, we dealt with that in the end of chapter 2. Verse 17, it says, Wherefore, in all things, it behooved him, that is Christ, to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the people. Merciful, but also faithfulness. Faithfulness, and that's what the apostle takes up here in this next chapter, the faithfulness. Now, how do we describe faithfulness? That might be the first question. How do we describe faithfulness? How do you describe faithfulness? How does the Scripture define faithfulness? Well, it describes faithfulness as reliability. Moses was one who was relied upon and was reliable in every situation to be faithful to the task and the ministry and the mission that God had called him to, first and foremost. And then Moses was faithful and reliable in his duty as the leader in Israel. He was not ready to forsake him. He was trustworthy. Faithfulness was also trustworthy. He was a trustworthy man. And the mission and the trust, the gift, the stewardship that God had appointed and anointed him for to exercise in the Old Testament, he fulfilled. And he did so under the blessing of God and with all the gifts that God had given him and the Spirit who maintained and sustained him. Even so much more the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're going to look at that here in a minute. Now our attention is directed to the Lord Jesus Christ because of his unique position as being both a priest and an apostle, the chief apostle. The word apostle means, of course, messenger or sent one. The apostles in the New Testament, of course, had a unique role because they were called, appointed, anointed by the Lord Jesus Christ. There were only those that were able to name, and no other. But chiefly, they were spokesmen, they were messengers for God, messengers for Christ. They fulfilled a lot of the role the prophets did in the Old Testament. Remember, that's how we started this great epistle. The apostle here writes to us of God speaking under the fathers in different ways, in different times, by the prophets. And now he has finally spoken through the greatest of all prophets, the prophet of prophets, the Lord Jesus Christ. Even Moses spoke of him. Over in Deuteronomy chapter 18, it's easy to remember, 18:18. In chapter 18 of the book of Deuteronomy, we have both God speaking to Moses about the one who will come like unto Moses, and also Moses speaking. Beginning at verse 15, it says, "The Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee." In other words, from the midst of the household of faith. From the midst of the sons of Abraham, of thy brethren. Like unto me, like unto Moses. Unto him ye will hearken. According to all that thou desireth of the Lord thy God in Horeb, in the day of the assembling, saying, let us not hear again the voice of the Lord God, neither let me see this great fire any more, die not. And the Lord said unto me, again, this is Moses speaking, they have well spoken that which they have spoken. I will raise them up a prophet from among their brethren like unto thee, and will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak unto him all that I have commanded, or I shall command him. He's speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ, the last and the greatest of all prophets, who will give to us and reveal to us fully the will of God for our salvation. Now, Moses was a great man. Moses was a great ambassador. He was a great representative of both of God and the people. He discharged his commission, and he discharged his duty in the manner in which he was called to do. And, of course, so did the Lord Jesus Christ. And we've seen that. We've seen that already in reference to the words of the Lord Jesus from John chapter 17, verse 4, that we've quoted other Sundays. When Jesus had said, "I," speaking to his Father in heaven, "I have glorified thee on earth, I have finished the work which thou hast given me." Jesus was trustworthy as a man of the duties and responsibilities he was given. There was not a taint, both morally or spiritually or physically, civilly, ceremonially, that Jesus did not perform and perform gladly and in such a way that he walked, he talked, he spoke, he acted, he thought in total harmony with God's will and God's law. And so Moses as a leader, as a mediator, as a lawgiver, did extraordinarily what God would do even to a greater through the Lord Jesus Christ. Now remember in the Old Testament that the three offices, prophet, priest, and king, were normally divided. Now many of God's leaders could and did, by divine appointment, exercise two of those offices, but none three. Now Moses was certainly a prophet, he was a leader, but in some sense, though he wasn't officially designated, called to, or ordained and set apart as a high priest, his brother was, Aaron, who became the first high priest in Israel, and then of the tribe of Levi, and of the sons of Aaron, and the eldest son in their due time with the death of the high priest, became high priest by God's appointment and God's direction. Yet Moses, in a very unique way, from all the people in the Old Testament, though he was a prophet, also served as a great intercessor. He, in many sense, did the work of a high priest, not bringing, of course, the offering and the sacrifice into the Holy Holies, but he tremendously represented the people of God because he was an advocate. That's a great word, advocate. We find it described for us of the Lord Jesus Christ in the New Testament over in the Epistle of John, and the first Epistle of John, as you make your way from the first chapter into the second chapter, we see the Lord Jesus Christ presented as our great advocate when we sin and when we are granted repentance and we go to the Lord and confess our sin as we're called to and as the Holy Spirit moves in our hearts and turns us. He turns us that we might be turned to him. And we confess our sins, and it's Christ. There, that first verse of the second chapter, the apostle says, "My little children, these things I write unto you, that ye sin not." But he recognizes that we will sin, and we do sin. So he reminds us of the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ, an important ministry, tremendous ministry. We need an intercessor, we need an advocate, we need a go-between, not only once from the cross, but continually. Though Moses was not a high priest, yet he did this same work of advocacy or intercession. I'll show you that in a minute. And so then it says, and if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. He is our lawyer as we go to the Supreme Court of the judgment throne of God. And the case of the believer, the case of the sheep, is secure. And the verdict is already in before the advocate even pleads our case, because there's no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. And as soon as the advocate steps up to his work of intercession before the Father, the case is already won, because the one who is the guilty sinner has been cleansed and he stands in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. There's no greater advocate than a man could have than Jesus Christ, the righteous. Now, Moses was a great advocate. He was that's why he's described as a faithful, a servant in the household of God. Just several illustrations of that. We don't have time, and we don't have to look to the passage, so I'll give you the passage of Scripture. There in Exodus chapter 32, beginning in verse 11, we have the first great rebellion of the people of God. Moses goes up into the mountain, and he's delayed in coming back, and the people, influenced by their sojourn in Egypt, influenced by the corruption of their own heart, influenced by the fact they have to see. You know, the Jews, the Bible tells us in the New Testament, the Jews always seek after a sign. And it's the nature of some men to always want to see a visible thing. And so they created this golden calf, and they bowed down to it, and they worshipped it, and Aaron was complicit with it. And as Moses came down, of course God was angry, but there we see in such a blessed chapter and blessed verses the advocacy and the intercession of Moses himself on behalf of the people as he appeals to God for his glory, as he appeals on the basis of God's promise, and as he appeals on the basis of God's testimony among those in the earth. And you can read it. Remember Abraham and Isaac and Israel, thy servants, whom thou hast sweareth by thine own self, and said unto them, I will multiply your seed. God was, at that time at least, outwardly telling Moses that he had enough of these people, and he would destroy them, and out of Moses and his seed he would raise up a people. But Moses, not caring for himself, not Moses was thinking, oh well, just think, it's through me, you know, God could raise up and do great things and I'll have a greater name. But Moses, in his concern and love for the people of God and the sheep over which he was made an under shepherd, and for the glory of God and the testimony of the Word of God, because God had made his promise, intercede for the people. What a beautiful thing. And God, of course, hears his prayers and answers those prayers. Moses was faithful and reliable and trustworthy. Then, and again, in Numbers chapter 14 and verse 13, when at the end of their journey, or what seemed like their journey, as they were ready to go into the promised land, and the spies were sent forth, and the spies came back, and most of the spies, of course we know the story, were against going in, and the people were rebellious. There again we see Moses standing in the gap. Chapter 14, book of Numbers, beginning in verse 13. He stands in the gap for the people. And then, who of us has not read or heard the beautiful advocacy of Moses, even at the rebellion of those who turned aside from Moses? Even his own household. His own household. You think his household would have stayed with him, but his own household, his own relatives, turned and questioned his authority, questioned him being a spokesman for God. And Moses appeals to God for the sake, and he's faithful, and he's faithful. And there in that blessed chapter, Numbers chapter 12, verse 7, we have this commendation by God concerning Moses. That's why we say he's head and shoulders over so many, over all those in the Old Testament. Numbers chapter 12, verse 7. He's speaking about a prophet in this context. He's talking about the prophet that God speaks to. And he had many prophets. And he would have other prophets. And most of those prophets had dreams. Even God appeared unto Abraham in a dream. Or they have divine visions or signs. Now he doesn't do that anymore. But in the Old Testament, he did not do so with Moses. But notice in verse 7, very important verse. My servant Moses is not so. He's not a prophet who has been spoken to in visions and signs and dreams, who is faithful. This is the pronunciation of God upon the person and ministry of Moses. You can't have more. You can't have more of a divine blessing and a divine judgment on one's life when God says you have been faithful. You've been faithful. And so he says, my servant, Moses, is not just like any other prophet, but he has been elevated in above all the prophets in the Old Testament, who is faithful in all my house, God's house. He's not just speaking of the tabernacle, not just speaking later of a temple, but the household of faith, the house of God, the people of God in the Old Testament. Notice verse 8. With him will I speak mouth to mouth, even apparently, and not in dark speeches. And in the similitude of the Lord shall he behold. Wherefore, then were ye not afraid to speak against my servant Moses? Hey, why are you turning against Moses? He is so blessed, he is so important, and he is such a faithful advocate and intercessor and leader. I did with to him more than I did to any other person. I spoke with him. God speaking directly to Moses, face to face, as it were, mouth to mouth, as he heard the message he was to receive and the message that he told others. No fault with Moses. This is not a criticism of Moses, and the apostle was not doing so here. But he was making the comparison and contrast. As important as Moses was, and as often as you were instructed to hear him, how much more important himself is the Lord Jesus Christ. He is greater and more excellent because he is not only a servant in the house, he is the ruler over the house. He is not only a spokesman of the house, he is the son and heir of the house. Moses served faithfully, reliably, and in a trustworthy manner to the duties and responsibilities that God had given him, but so much more the Lord Jesus Christ. For Moses, you read the passage here, and later on you also read chapter 10, Hebrews chapter 10, we recognize Moses was a shadow of good things to come. And he served in his ministry as a testimony to those things that were to be spoken later by and through the Lord Jesus Christ. But Christ is the Son. And if we're told to listen to Moses, and we've heard Moses, how much more should we, can we, fix our attention upon the person and the work of the Lord Jesus Christ and the doctrine and the words that he has given us because of who he was and who he is. For more honor and respect belong to him, being the Son, given to him by the Father, that we owe to him more honor and respect and service as members of the household of faith and the household of God. Let us hear the words of Christ. Let us pray.